Syria has been one of the hardest countries to report on because hardly any foreign journalists have been allowed in the country since the uprisings against President Assad. And that's why the recent story of the blogger known as Gay Girl in Damascus is so vexing. She claims to be a Syrian-American woman named Amina Abdallah Araf al-Omari. She writes in English and Arabic, has a huge following because of how frank she is about the government and her sexuality. She's a lesbian in a country and culture where gay is taboo. Or is she? Earlier this week, it was reported that Syrian security forces detained her, but now there are questions as to whether or not she's even a real person. Andy Carvin is NPR's senior social media strategist. He's been working to get the truth on this story and joins us from NPR in D.C. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So where are we on this, Andy? On Monday, it appears someone claiming to be Amina's cousin posted that she'd been detained. And what happened from there?
Well, immediately her fans from her blog and her online friends started organizing campaigns to have her released. They started creating Free Amina groups on Facebook and tagging messages on Twitter. While all of this was going on, I started getting messages, some of them private, some of them public, from some Syrian activists I know who were expressing some skepticism about her stories. They just thought her pieces, the way she wrote them, were too good to be true.
Well, let's tell some of the stories for people who haven't read her blog. For instance, in one called My Father the Hero, she blogs about how her father protected her against Syrian security forces.
Yes, two Syrian security forces came by to arrest her, and her father stood with her at the door and basically shamed the two men to leave, saying that he knew both of their families and their behavior was shameful and they shouldn't be doing this. It's an extraordinary story, but it's also a story that's had some people ask, how true is it? Is it complete fiction? Is it completely true, or is it something in between?
Well, they actually told you that they didn't think it was possible for a father to protect a daughter against Syrian security forces.
Yes, a number of Syrians expressed to me that if Syrian security was going to come to your door, you were going with them whether you wanted to or not. And so I started looking around and trying to ask on Twitter if anyone had ever met her in person. I've got a pretty large contact list on Twitter in the Middle East and in Syria as well, and no one said that they had met her. No one knew anyone who had met her in person. And as I started asking news organizations who had interviewed her in the past, the first several ones that I talked to said that those interviews were done through email rather than through voice or in person. And so immediately the Twittersphere exploded with discussions as to whether she's a hoax. The New York Times was writing about it. The Wall Street Journal found these photos that eventually were proven to come from this Croatian woman in the UK, Jelena Lecic. It seems to me we're in a situation where you've got this person who's weaved this long, complex identity for themselves online over a period of several years. And the question is how much of it is truth and how much of it is fiction?
Well, stay with the woman from Croatia. Apparently, this beautiful photograph, and we'll have it on our website, herenow.org, that purports to be Amina, the Syrian-American lesbian, is a photograph of this Croatian woman living in London.
Right. And she went on the BBC last night, Jelena Lecic, that is, and she talked about how some of the photos were taken in Paris and at family occasions and the like. And so it seems fairly clear that the person purporting to be Amina used these photos as part of her public online persona.
Well, a couple questions. We know, for instance, a dissident blogger in Syria might want to do that to cover up their own identity, so there might be a good reason for it.
Very much so.
Is there a possibility, though, that this Croatian woman has put together this blog?
I really don't believe that. Whoever is writing this knows what they're talking about, and I haven't heard anything suggesting that Jelena Lecic has that kind of background in the Middle mm-hmm. East. It doesn't click with me.
Well, and we've put some excerpts from the blog at herenow.org, and the blogger writes not just openly about being gay in Damascus, which a lot of people have told you and others, that doesn't sound correct either because it's very dangerous to be openly gay in Syria.
Well, there is a gay community in Syria. It's just very, very discreet. And some people I've talked to have expressed concerns that the way she's publicly talking about it puts too much sunlight on them.
She also writes very critically of the Syrian government. So this wouldn't seem to be someone, if it is a hoax, it wouldn't seem to be someone doing it to undermine the opposition.
Well, if you want to get a little cloak and dagger and paranoid about it, One could argue that this has been a long-term intelligence operation to get friendly with activists and learn what they have to say. You know, that's a rather cynical way of looking at it. I sincerely hope that's not the case.
Well, I guess my point was, if somebody wanted to pull off a hoax to undermine this social media revolution, they certainly wouldn't do it by also being critical of the government, you know, which the opposition is doing. But you found an interesting clue, perhaps, to what's going on here. She gives a clue as to what might be in her blogs.
Yeah, we found a blog that she wrote starting several years ago and abandoned a little while after that, in which she proclaimed that the blog was going to be a combination of truth and fiction, and she would not tell her readers which was which. So it does raise some interesting questions about how much of her current blog is true. So it is entirely possible that somewhere there is a woman sitting in a jail cell in Syria while the rest of us debate her authenticity.
Yeah. So Andy Carvin, I guess just one last question. You are NPR senior social media strategist. You have been on social media throughout the headlines of the last several months, sometimes getting information from people, sometimes giving them information when they can't get it where they are. What does this latest episode tell you about how much we've come to rely on social media and maybe how we should always have a little more skepticism about it? I don't know. What does it tell you?
I think what's going on here is that we've known for a long while that activists in Syria and other countries usually don't use their real names. It's potentially deadly for them to do that. And so I have a number of contacts throughout the region who I don't know what their real names are. Some of them I do, but we don't use them publicly and they don't use them publicly.
And you trust them?
And they've been, because they've been reliable so far, they've been able to give us tips that we've been able to verify. I think the mistake that happened is so many news organizations ended up doing their interviews with her solely through email. They never got to see her in person, for example. And so it's clearly a case that many, many people, including myself, assume she was quite real. And I still think she's somewhat real. I just don't know what is real and what isn't at this point.
Andy Carvin, NPR senior social media strategist. Andy, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.